Well, anyhow, you might notice something is different about me.
No, surely not.
Listen, sometimes in life you make mistakes, and you know, it was just one of those moments. Compulsively, I was like, "Man, I think I want to shave," and it doesn't help that your wife goes, "Do it," you know. So, I did it, and I don't like it. So. Don't worry, my beard will be back. Just I haven't sneezed today, but as soon as that happens, we'll be good to go. It'll be there. So today, church, I want to speak to you guys about specifically this topic, about the truth that it's always enough, that the truth in itself is enough. Because sometimes I believe that as Christians, sometimes we forget that God is absolute amongst tragedy, amongst days like 18 years ago, amongst circumstances that come up in our lives, amongst bad diagnosis, amongst things that we don't want to hear, amongst people who treat us poorly, God still remains. God is still absolute. His truth is still there. His word remains forever. Though the flowers may fade, the word of the Lord stands. Right, so we can all agree that God's truth, that God's word is truth that is nothing but the truth, that it's absolute, it's never going to change. God is never going to change. He's never going to go back on his word. You see, but sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that he is completely absolute. So today, I'm going to share a personal story with you. And I want to share something with you that only three people in my entire life know. One being my wife, and two being my best friends. Because with September, September is, as you might know, Suicide Prevention Month. Maybe there are people in your life that you know who have taken their own lives tragically. Maybe there are, you know, someone that you know that you know. But I believe that in a way this affects everyone because it's happened to someone that we at least know or have been in contact with. And sadly, it's we'll get there. But I want to share with you kind of my story. I want to share with you the things that I've gone through because, you know, I believe that maybe a lot of times people look at pastors or they look at church leaders and they think that we've got everything together and that the world is grand. And you know, a lot of the times we even might even put this saving face on, like everything's okay. And you may even be in a position right now in your life where you're just putting this face on. And you're telling yourself everything's okay, but deep down inside, there's pain and there's hurt and there's torment. There's shame, there's guilt, there's what are people going to think? And so what we do is we cover these things up. And a lot of the times we tell ourselves that the truth even is not enough. You know, I originally wasn't going to talk about this. I had a whole nother message besides this. And last night before I went to bed, the Lord was like, "Hey, I think you should share." And so I talked to my wife and she's like, "I think that's okay." And so I was like, "All right." And but what kind of led me to this is if you've been on Facebook or even watched the news, there's this pastor in California who is all for suicide prevention, helping people, all for mental health illnesses. He's wrote books and created websites and things to help people in their weaknesses. He's this huge advocate for suicide and mental health, but this man tragically took his own life. The things that he preached against were the very thing that he did. And that's tragic for pastors because I don't know if you realize sometimes the struggles that pastors go through. Because And I'm going to say this in love, church, but a lot of the times we don't just deal with the issues in our lives, but with your lives as well. You see, and so this is the reason that we push life groups. This is the reason that we push you to get involved past a point than just coming in the doors and then leaving the same person that you were when you came in. Because when you get involved with people, you make connections that ultimately will change your life. And so, yeah, this month, this is what brought this to my attention, is because we tell ourselves, even in church, that sometimes the truth is not enough. I was talking with someone in church, and we got on this topic of depression and anxiety. And in my head, I said, well, you need the truth. And ultimately, that came out of my mouth. I said, you need the truth. Excuse me. And this person said, well, you know, sometimes the truth was not enough. And I had an outer body experience. Because ultimately what you're saying is Jesus is not enough. The blood is not enough. The cross was not enough. God is not enough. Think about that truth. Because he's truth. He's all those things. He's absolute. You see, but we get stuck in these moments in life where we think that God just died so that we could say a prayer and go to heaven. And so then we remain the same people that we are when we pray a prayer. There's no transformation. There's no change. We're stuck with the same problems because we don't believe that the truth is enough. You see, and so for the longest time, I've been sitting back and being quiet about these things, and I've had it pressed on my heart, church, that if as a pastor here in this ministry, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing if I'm not loving you through even those hard moments where I say, you know what, the truth is enough. So to get started, you know, growing up, well, I don't know how to say it. I can just tell you the moment that I remember that I kind of first dealt with what some may call depression. It's hard to talk about it. It's hard to obviously, I've never been clinically diagnosed. But I just know that in high school is in those moments that they were difficult. And you start drawing back from people, and your friends start noticing that something's different about you. But if you notice, sometimes the saddest people in life are the most happy people as well. Like I said, we put on this saving face, like everything's okay. You know, and it was almost like you kind of think you beat it, but you don't really know until you have those moments in life where they come back to get you. And I remember in high school, that was the first moment that I actually started having thoughts of committing suicide. And really, that's things that you should take very seriously in life, especially if a young person comes to you as a trusted adult and says, I have thoughts about hurting myself. That's a very big deal. And that's nothing to be taken lightly. That's nothing to say, oh, stop it, you're being foolish. That is nothing to take lightly. Even if they're the ones that are talking about it, they may not be the ones that actually do it, but it's still very serious. And even as an adult, there may be thoughts in your head that you think about harming yourself. Maybe you think about harming others, ultimately taking your life. Maybe you struggle with depression. Maybe you struggle with anxiety. Well, look, I'm not here to tell you what's wrong with you. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you my story. I'm here to tell you that, look, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That's love. So in high school, you know, the first thoughts of actually wanting to do something to harm my life, to take my life, right? And of course, I didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew. Of course, I told people before. I've shared that story before. But now let's speed up to now, to today. Because just here recently, like I said, do you mind if I sit down? Because like, it just, I feel like I'm talking to somebody here. But, you know, things I've never told my wife before. We've been together for 10 years, married for 3. Never told her this before, never told anyone before. And then 2 of my best friends, like I said, they know this, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that mental illness isn't a real thing. I'm not going to play it down. I'm not going to, you know, say, oh, just, you know. But if you think about it, in a way, depression is like being mentally unhealthy. And if you think about it, you can also play that with being spiritually unhealthy or being physically unhealthy. You know, there are things, and in my opinion, this is not WebMD, this is not Dr. Frankie here, okay? In my opinion, in my perspective, a lot of the reasons that I dealt with depression is because I dwelled on the things that I failed in. I dwelled on the bad things, my mistakes, my shortcomings, my failures. I mean, like I said, I wasn't clinically tested. I didn't have a counselor tell me something was wrong with me. But I just knew there was something going on. And anyhow, so just earlier this year, maybe I would say, earlier this year, I noticed, man, something's going on with me. The days I didn't work, I just sat at home. I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to do nothing. And if I was home, I didn't want to be at home. I didn't do anything. I moped all day for no reason. I just moped. And slowly but surely, there were these thoughts that I haven't had since high school. I want you to know that I know what you're going through if you deal with these things. Maybe you've been clinically tested. Maybe you take medication for it. I'm not saying that that stuff doesn't work. But there comes a point where we have to tell ourselves that the truth is enough. And I'm a firm believer that if I didn't know what I know now, if I didn't know that just a few months ago, then, I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I don't, you know, now I think about it, and I can't even imagine taking my life. I can't imagine leaving my sweet baby girl and my wife and the rest of my family or my church. I can't imagine that. You know, but there was these thoughts that would just try to come back, these thoughts just of just do it. I mean, just straight up, just thoughts. Just do it. I've got a gun safe full of guns. Just these little, just, oh, it's so easy. I'm being real vulnerable with you right now. I mean, I'm being real open. I want to be open, okay? I want to be completely transparent. These thoughts, these just pull the trigger. A gun sitting on my bedside table and me staring at it and just me thinking it's so easy. And you know, I even had a thought that sounded pretty good. And it was a thought that, it was a thought that I had and it was this. It was, Lord, I just want to be with you already. And in turn, that sounds great, but that is deception. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So let me tell you what I did. I had enough. You know what? And I was like, I'm telling my wife. I'm going to tell somebody about this because they need to know. Because these thoughts are real. These are real feelings that we have. Not just pastors, but you, people. There's nothing to do with the title or the position that I'm in. Because when I'm home, I'm Frankie. When I'm home, I'm Dad. And so you have these thoughts. And I told my wife, and my wife was like, well, we need to tell our friends. So the two people that I trusted the most, you know, was Joe and Angela. And I understand, church, the feelings of shame, the thoughts of guilt. Because what are people going to think? What is somebody going to think when you tell somebody that you have thoughts of committing suicide? That you might struggle with depression or anxiety? What are people going to think? So I can understand why people don't come forward and talk to people about it. And I can understand how it's hard for people to realize that you're struggling with these things when you're putting on a strong face. How are they supposed to know? And then all of a sudden now we're just like, well, you're just supposed to know. And so now we become even more consumed in our own lives and in ourselves that people are just supposed to know. And so we get so much more mad at people because they just don't see the things that are going on in my life. You see, what you have to understand is that the truth is enough. So this is not a feel sorry for me. This is not a come give me a hug. This is not a cry for help. Because this is why I've been delivered and I've been set free. So again, if you are here and you struggle in that area, and maybe you, like I said, you take medication for it. That's fine. But every time you take that medication, you tell yourself, this is the last day that I have to do that. And you start declaring the word of God and his truth over your life. And if you don't know the truth, then how can you be set free? Because there's not truth that you know. So since that day, listen, church, I didn't need deliverance. I didn't need the church coming together in a prayer circle and just praying for me. I didn't need God to search my heart and just take out everything that's been wrong since high school. I didn't need my heart healed because Jesus already did that. All I needed was the truth. That's all I needed. And it's that truth that it truly set me free. Because here's the deal, church. That moment that I had with my best friends, we sat and we prayed. And from that moment on, I haven't had a thought like that to this day. You see, so a lot of the times what I realize and what I've noticed about depression and anxiety and mental health is that we take those things and we wear them and we puff out our chest and, you know, well, yeah, I've got depression and you know, that, you know, everybody deals with depression and I've got anxiety and we all deal with it. And, you know, I'm coming to terms with that, you know. So what we do is we boast in these things that are lies and that we become those things and we exalt those things above the name of the Jesus. And we wonder why the truth is not enough. And we wonder why God isn't doing something for us. So maybe we think sometimes that, man, if we can just get through this, or even if I'm still dealing with it, God will use my story. Yeah, that's awesome. But how much more impact would you probably have if you've been completely set free and delivered from that by the truth? And then you can help others in that moment of weakness say, look, this is not who you are. And they can be set free as well. So the truth is absolutely enough. The truth was enough for me in that moment because I don't deal with those things anymore. But let me tell you something also. Sometimes these thoughts, they still might come up. You may struggle and you may be wondering, why do I still have these thoughts? Why do I still have these feelings and these emotions? That's okay, because you might. But what you do is you combat those with the truth. And you tell those lies the truth. Because true freedom is when you stop believing in those lies. That's it. True freedom is when you stop believing in the lies. And just because you still have thoughts or still have feelings, that doesn't mean that that's who you are. Let's look here in the book of Colossians. Chapter 3. It says that Christ's resurrection is yours too. And this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. That's everything. That's all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. So you see, what happens is that there are times in our lives where we don't yearn for the things that are above. We don't think about the things above. All we think about are the things that we see and how things are going wrong. And what we do in turn is those things become Lord of our lives and no longer Jesus. So they take the place of where he sits and they become power over us. And they become honor over us because we boast in those things. And then they become ultimately authority over us and they dictate who we're going to be. And I'm not okay with that. Verse 2. Yes, feast on all of the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with the heavenly realities. So again, the battle is all going to be in your head. The battle is going to be the things that you think about. And not with the distractions of the natural realm. Next verse. Your crucifixion with Christ, this is important. So since you've been crucified with Christ, your crucifixion with Christ has severed, that means cut off, that means it's dead, right? It has severed the tie to this life. So the life that you once knew, it has been severed because you've been crucified with Christ. This is a truth, church, that you have to know. Because if not, you'll come in here, you'll sit, you'll hear some worship, you'll listen to some word, and you'll leave, and you'll have the same problems you did before you walked in here. Can I be that honest? Is that okay? It's coming from a pure heart, I promise. Because I've been there. And I've told myself, I'm done living that way. And now, your true life, so that's who you truly are now after Christ, is hidden away in God, in Christ. Who you truly are is hidden in Christ. And it says, and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, so what that means is once you see God for who he is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. The reason that we still have these issues is because we have not completely severed the old life and become one with Christ in relationship with him. Because then, once you find out who God really is, you'll find out who you really are. Philippians. Oh, just kidding, Galatians. Ha! Sorry, Philippians is one I was studying earlier. My bad. This is very popular, by the way. It says that my old identity. So I don't know if you knew that, but there are two, you know. There's you before Christ, and then there's you after Christ. The one we should be living in is the one after Christ. Right? So my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. So listen, those thoughts of depression and anxiety and suicide, those things are dead. So render them dead and leave them dead. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him, and now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. So listen, church, I'm going to be real careful here, but I'm going to be really honest. And I say this with love. okay? Because suicide is one of the biggest deceptions on planet Earth. Because we believe a lie into taking something that was never ours in the first place. That's why it's so tragic. It's because our lives are hidden in Christ. And so what we do, if you think about it, we don't just take our lives. We take God's life on the inside of us. And it's a tragedy. So for the anointed one, I'm sorry, Terry, can you go back? Yeah. For the anointed one, see, God lives. Jesus. He lives his life through you. So just as God lived his life through man, Jesus, now Jesus lives his life through us. So we live, next slide. We live in union as one, so we're one with Christ. And so now my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God. Your new life is not just empowered by your faith or your righteousness, because if it were that, it's filthy rags, right? But your new life is now empowered by the faith of the Son of God. Your new life is empowered by Jesus, by his faith. Your life is empowered by him to say, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to be born through man, and I'm going to go through what they go through, and then I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to finish this once and for all to bring them back into the family. Your life is empowered by Christ, by his faith, by him taking the steps and going to the cross and finishing the work. You see, and now we get the opportunity to live our lives through that finished work. Are y'all getting this? Because that's amazing. So by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. Come on, church. Our lives ultimately are not our own. Who you are now after Christ, because your life is hidden in him, that is not who you used to be. And though you might struggle with the same old things you used to struggle with, that doesn't mean that that's who you are, because your life is in Christ. So live in him. Walk in him. Be in him. Come on, we have that opportunity. Christ in us. In John 8:31, it says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all. See, that's important. We can't just take some of it. We have to take all of it. Embrace all that I teach. You prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives. Come on, church, that is for everything. That is over everything. That is over addictions and bondage and disease and sickness and mental illness or whatever else it is that you want to call it that you feel like is holding you back. You embrace the truth and it will release true freedom into your lives. Come on, the truth is enough. Jesus is enough. Just knowing him is enough. Man, the Apostle Paul, where did he say? He said it in Philippians, I believe it is. And he said that all these accomplishments, knowing all that I know, having all these great things, it is rubbish. He said it's garbage compared to the infinite knowledge of knowing who God is. Because everything in your life should come from knowing him. Everything in your life should stem from that relationship with Jesus. Surprised by this, they said, But we're all descendants of Abraham, and we're already free. We've never been in bondage to anyone, so how could you say that we will be released into more freedom? And Jesus says, I speak eternal truth. When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does, for a son is a part of the family forever. You see, so we've got to get to a position in our lives, church, where we live as sons and daughters and no longer slaves to the things that we were once bound in. And that's real truth, because we can wake up every single day and think that we're going to just make mistakes, and we can wake up and think that we're just sin waiting to happen, and every time we breathe, we're sinning, and we can think those things. But if you ask me, that's bondage, because Romans says, consider yourself dead to sin. It is no longer alive. You no longer have to obey it or do what it obligates you to do. And just like sin, the enemy is the same way. He's a cut-off, withering branch, and that's all he is. So why would we even give him the time of day? So if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true son and be unquestionably free. Come on, Jesus offers us freedom every single day. And so we should live as sons and daughters and walk in that freedom. Yeah, but I still struggle with walk in that freedom. Tell your struggles the truth. Declare over your life who you are. And when those thoughts or when these struggles come back, then you tell them who they are. It's a lot easier done. It's easy to do. But again, if you don't know the truth, then how can you be set free? That's why it's a lot more than just coming in here and listening to a message and then going home. It's something that we do every day, where we open the scriptures or where we pray, where we commune with God. Yeah, but you see, Pastor, I don't have time. Come on. How many times do we drive to work? And we've got, you know, 99.3 and we're just rocking to the worship music. And all we do is worship, but we don't think for a moment, maybe I should just take this time and commune with the Father. Get to know him a little better. I'm going to fly through this. You know what? Actually, I'm going to skip all this because I can tell it to you. So basically, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I'll go ahead and read this though. Afterward, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser, that's the enemy, that's the devil, by going through the ordeal of testing. Next verse. And after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. And so, and then the tempter came to entice him. So basically, what happens real quick in this passage is that, and I believe that many of us know this, but Jesus goes into the wilderness. And then the enemy comes to tempt him. And the enemy says, hey, look, if you're the Son of God and you're hungry, then make this rock into bread. Right? But Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, he says, but man, he says, I tell you the truth. So Jesus is declaring truth to the enemy's lies. And he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So what is that ultimately? The scriptures. Right? And so he goes on and he's saying, hey, look, you're on this cliff. Go ahead and jump because, you know, scripture says that angels, they will protect you. They will catch you. You won't even harm your foot. Right. But then Jesus says, you know what? It is written. Here's the truth that I'm missing it. Yeah. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Right. And so then after that, he takes him up to the highest mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, all this could be yours if you just worship me. Just bow down and worship me. You see, a lot of these things sound really good. You know, just free falling and then all of a sudden angels come and rescue you. That sounds pretty sweet, but it's a lie. So you combat that with the truth. And so then Jesus comes back and he says that, what did he say? Basically, like, don't worship any other gods, right? Am I right on that one? I forgot. Yep, there it is, right there. Bam. Worship only him. Worship only God. Have no other gods before him. So Jesus is combating these things with the truth. Can we go to the, yep, there it is. And at once, the accuser left. What? So if you want the enemy to leave you alone, then you come back at him with the truth. Now, you don't want to give him the attention of the day. We don't want to just think that, oh, the enemy's just always out to get me. Like, I understand, like, we need to be aware of his devices and schemes, but at the same time, we need to let him know that he is just a dead, cut off, withering branch, and that's all he's ever going to be, so leave him where he's at. Move on. Come back with the truth. And it says that he left, and the angel suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. Come on, the Lord knows exactly what you need. So what you do is you combat the lies with the truth, and then the Lord will come in and he will minister to you what you need, which in turn you receive deliverance, you receive freedom. And so if we look in the book of Luke, I love this here because it says that finished the devil's harassment for the time being. So he stood off at a distance, retreating until the time came to return and tempt Jesus again. And I think I have the other translation up there that says that he came for a more opportune time. So what better time is there for the enemy to come and start whispering lies into your head when you're by yourself and you're in your bedroom and you're already kind of in a sad, sombering mood? You already position yourself. Remember how whenever I taught a few weeks ago, do not position yourself to be easy prey. Because when all you think about is you, man, you are lining up. You are putting yourself first in line to take the hits and to take the blows. So don't give the enemy an opportune time. And listen, if he does, then throw the truth at whatever is going on in your life. Because the truth is more than enough. The truth is all that you need. The truth ultimately will set you free. Last scripture. I'm so sorry I kept you guys over. I don't ever do this. I don't do this. I don't like keeping you over, so I'm so sorry. Verse 5. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy. Every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. These are things that we can do. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. This is a scripture that most of my life I have known. And most of my life, I have to consciously tell myself whenever some thoughts come at me that aren't good thoughts, and I say, that is not true, I do not believe that, and I take that thought captive, and it must submit itself to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Church, that's a truth that you can do. These fantasies, these thoughts that we come up with in our heads, combat those with the truth. Okay, we can all stand to our feet. I'm done keeping here. It's only been like 7 minutes. Oh, sorry. Listen, church, if you're struggling with anything, it could be something that I have mentioned. It could be something, maybe you are struggling with depression or anxiety. Maybe you're here and, man, you're like, I am not okay. Listen, that is okay. Please come and talk to someone about it. Because it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. Because I'm here telling you from the most amount of love that I can possess is that is not who you are. Stop believing the lies. Man, maybe you've had a rough past. Listen, maybe there's things in your past that affect you today. Listen. We have to remember in Scripture that said old things have passed away and all things have become new. You know, our past should never define who we are today. Our past may have some reasons for why we are the way that we are, but listen, you don't have to stay that way. You can't change what happened. So just take it from the words of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press on forward and I don't look back. Imagine all the things that he went through, all the things that he dealt with, all the people he came into contact with that hated him and that tried to kill him. Come on, church, I understand that if you had moments in your past, maybe somebody did something bad to you. Maybe somebody touched you wrong. Maybe somebody did you wrong. Listen, we have to remind ourselves with this truth. This truth is that, man, if people knew God, they would never do or say the things that they do to you. We have to change our perspective. We have to see people for how God sees them, because everybody has a shot at redemption. Everybody has a chance to be loved, and we have that opportunity to give it to them. So remember that. Man, if people just knew God, then things like that wouldn't happen. Things like that wouldn't have happened to you, wouldn't have been said to you. So we're going to have a ministry team down front. Man, and they're here to offer you comfort and love and prayer. That's what they're here for. So church, my challenge to you is, do not remain the same. Do not be the same person that walked in here with the same struggles. Combat lies with the truth. Stand on God's word. Live your life through him, because your old life has been severed. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. God, I thank you that because of the finished work of the cross, we now have new life.